Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome to this holy half hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. As you know, from time to time we invite special guests onto the programme, usually local people who have very fascinating life stories, people I'd like you to meet because they are interesting and inspirational characters. So let me introduce to you now Lisa McLaren. So thanks, Lisa, for coming to the studio and sharing your story with us today. So are you a local girl?
I'm not a local girl. I originally grew up in Airdrie. I now live in Ardrossan, been through here a couple of years now. Thoroughly enjoy living by the seaside. Big change from the other side of Glasgow. But certainly it's a very tight community. Although people on the outside might not think quite that it is, but it is. It's a very tight and supportive community.
And have you got a partner or family?
I do. My fiancé is Stephen, and we have a family home with, all in all, we've got four children, ranging from 16 down to 2.5. With a couple in the middle, right mix of boy-girl, 50-50 split, and all the challenges that throws up can be hormone central at times, but they're a great bunch and it really does keep you on your toes and keeps you young, that's for sure.
And not content with four children, you're a childminder as well.
Yes, yeah, I like to open the doors and have some of...
You must like kids then.
I do. I've kind of always been involved with children, be it through youth groups, girl guides, that kind of thing. Always like to be busy, and they certainly keep you busy.
How do you manage to juggle all the things that you do?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I need a bit of a PA. But I think if you enjoy what you do, then you can find time for absolutely anything.
So have you got spare room for hobbies and interests?
I do. I enjoy very much keeping fit now, which if anybody had known me in years gone by, wouldn't have believed. And I sometimes can't believe those words actually came out my mouth.
Out of interest, what changed you on that one?
What really changed on that one was I lost a lot of weight. And along with that weight loss...
Is that because you did the fitness?
I actually didn't do the fitness when losing the weight, ironically. I felt too self-conscious when I was heavier to walk into a class, to go to a gym.
So you start with a diet and you lose weight. Why did that lead on to fitness then?
For me, I knew that in order to keep the weight that I had lost off, and also for general health and being able to just give your children quality time and be able to run about with them and do the things you want to do, and for your general good health overall, I needed to get more active. I needed to get off my bahookie and move, in a nutshell.
And once you start doing it, it's kind of addictive, is it?
It is very addictive. Particularly, I go to several classes with Steph and Claire in the Ayrshire Fitness team.
That's the Zoom band, the Boqua.
The new things, Paloxin, there's so many things that they do. But for me, it's you get in the class, you're made to, first time I've ever been made to feel absolutely welcome and accepted in a fitness environment for who I am. And everybody is just so supportive of each other that you absolutely get the bug and you just are itching to get back and do more.
Well, we'll come back to some of this in a wee moment, but I've asked you to bring along some of your favourite music.
Yeah.
Because one of your hobbies is music.
Mm-hmm.
So can you introduce your first track?
The first track I've chosen is Friends Will Be Friends by Queen. And the reason really for that is Friends is such a big part of my life, having good friends around about me and trying to be a good friend to those that are close to me and that matter.
Okay, so let's hear Queen. You're listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour, where we're interviewing Lisa McLaren, a local girl who has just been telling us, Lisa, about your fitness and your dieting. So maybe it's time that we highlighted one of the hats that you wear, as you're the local organiser for Weight Watchers.
Yes, I am. I run two meetings. I've one in Largs and my other one is very local. It's in North Parish Church on a Saturday morning. So I have the two meetings.
And they're quite well attended from what I've seen.
Yes, yeah, they're a lively bunch, especially Saturday morning. They're always full of the joys.
So why did you get into Weight Watchers?
Like all Weight Watcher leaders, you have to be at what we call goal weight, which is within your BMI range of 20 and 25 to become a leader, which I achieved.
Can you explain that in English?
Right, okay, break that down. You've got a medical BMI, which is a health range based,
body mass index.
That's absolutely correct. Based on your height, your age, your gender, and it kind of, we can work out from that what your BMI should be, so that you're healthy. It lowers your chances of diabetes, heart disease, and many other illnesses as well associated with basically being overweight. I was overweight.
Slightly.
I've lost, to get into my BMI range, I've lost 5.5 stone.
Wow.
I like to blame IKEA for my weight gain, because they give you lovely big bowls and lovely big plates that you feel obliged to fill, and then you feel obliged to eat. Nothing to do with my love of chocolate and cheesecake.
Yeah.
But that kind of really was my downfall, I have to say. Being half Italian, pasta figures quite heavily in my life.
I should say that I have seen the photographs of you before and after, and it's very impressive.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, it does, and a lot of people say I look a lot younger now than in the picture of when I was heavier.
I'll put it this way, you now look like the sort of person that doesn't need to go to Weight Watchers, but you still go.
I still go. I still watch what I eat, simply because I now like feeling the healthy way that I now feel because of the Weight Watchers plan. It's not a quick fix. It's not a diet as such. For me, and for anybody that's really following the plan, or is interested in following the plan, it's a lifestyle change, and I can still have everything that I want to have. I still have my glasses of wine. I can still have my wee bit of cheesecake. I can still have my
How
treats.
Can you have your cake and eat it and be losing weight?
I come to Weight Watchers. It's absolutely possible. All the foods that you eat, and all anything you eat or drink, in fact, has a pro points value. And basically everybody stays within what is their calculated range, which I'm there to support them to do. And you get the weight loss as a result. It's as simple as that. You follow the plan. If you can count and you can sit and listen to me for 20 minutes, I can explain how it all works, and you can do it.
That's what interested me as a minister. I have a wee pep talk on a Sunday to the congregation,
mm-hmm.
but you have a wee pep talk to your congregation on a Saturday.
Yes.
So what kind of things do you say in your pep talk?
Well, you've seen a wee snippet of our pep talk in relation to the butter story, but
I've stopped eating margarine ever since.
But basically in the pep talks there's a different theme every week, and some weeks it could be about portion control and just highlighting to people pitfalls that they might fall into, and things to be aware of, and usually you strike a chord with almost everybody in the room. Other weeks it can be about activity, so it's just really motivating people to do, as I say, just do a little bit more. Don't make big radical changes. Pick one thing and change it. Then it becomes a new routine, and then that becomes a habit, and everything is a gradual
A long
process.
Journey of many little steps.
Yeah. Slowly, slowly catch a monkey, as they say, you know.
Very good. Is there a Weight Watchers theme song?
They don't really have a theme song as such. The one song that I kind of connected with was one that we used at a conference, and it was a motivational song for us as leaders, and it was Heather Small's Proud, and the reason being one of the lyrics that's in it said, we need change, do it today, don't put off the inevitable, start the diet on Monday thing, just do it and do it today.
Well, let's hear Heather Small now.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I
You're a mother, a childminder, into fitness, and an organiser of the Weight Watchers. You're a wee diamond with many facets here. So let's turn to another facet of your story. This is a sadder note, because you're telling me that your sister is quite ill.
Yes, she is. She has been diagnosed with cancer. Started as ovarian, bilateral ovarian cancer.
Your sister will be quite young.
She's 41. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, the diagnosis has come so late on. The cancer has spread spleen, liver, lungs, and soft tissue around the heart. So it's rather extensive. There's not going to be any surgical intervention, and she's opted not to have any chemotherapy. So the main crux at the moment of her palliative care really is just to keep her as pain free and for her to do whatever she feels she wants to do between now and the end, basically. She's quite strong in her wishes. And as a family, we're kind of just trying to all come together to make those things possible, really. I think what makes it even more ironic for us as a family is my sister's exactly the same age my mum was.
Exactly the same. 41.
My mum was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and sadly passed away. I was only 13. So it's kind of a bit of a double blow, which throws up lots of questions for me, because obviously I'm 37. So I'm thinking, without being rather morbid about it, have I got 4 years? You know, that thought is there. But not something that you can get hung up on and stop living your life by.
Have you thought of going to a doctor about this?
I have.
To see what your chances are of inheriting a genetic illness?
I have. I've chosen not to, basically because I did have a think to myself, well, what would I do with that information? You know, there are people, and I do have family members that have had the genetic screening because it is so prevalent, unfortunately, in our family. And they have chosen to have double mastectomies. They've chosen to have full hysterectomies. I'm a bit of a person that thinks if cancer or some other disease is unfortunately in your family and it's on the cards for you, it's going to happen somewhere. Where do you draw the line? You know, you're just going to be a skeleton walking about. Do you know what I mean? Because even if you do that, Sod's Law says you could get cancer of the bone. So really, you know, it's a bit of those ones. And that's a really hard one. And I think it's a very personal thing. I would never judge anybody else for choosing to go and have that screening and act on it. But for me and for my family unit, it's something that we've discussed, and I've thought about it and taken solace in the fact that that's the decision that I've made, and it's the right decision for me. That's not to say that might not change, but right here, right now, that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, you're being very brave. There's an issue in here for the whole population, not just for your family. There are many illnesses that are genetic, and what do you do about it? And it's a bit like fetuses in the womb. Do you get a scan or not, or do you wait till it's born?
Well, yeah.
Do you get a scan now, or do you wait till you die? There's a thin divide between maybe trusting in God or fatalism. You know, just what's for you, I'll no go by you.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do, so I'll just forget about it and go on my life.
Yeah.
As a minister, I would say trusting God is a virtue. But I think just fatalism is maybe a fault. And somewhere in there, you've also to decide whether you do things about it. You can take some preventative measures if you can.
Yeah.
There's a whole area of debate in there.
Definitely. For me, I mean, I think my choice has been to just carry on living my life. And because of my Christian beliefs, trust that God will look after me, and if I do develop an illness, whatever it may be, that I'll have his support and guidance there through that. But what I do think is important is that anybody feeling anything, not sure what to do, talk to other people. There's loads of support out there for lots of conditions. Don't feel you have to carry the burden on your own, because that's a lonely, lonely place to be. And there are people out there that people can talk to.
That's a very good point. And that's one of the reasons why you've agreed to come on the radio tonight, because you're bravely willing to talk about these things on air. So we hope that some people out there might benefit from what you've said. So your next piece of music, does that connect to what you've been talking about?
Yeah, it does. The next piece of music I've chosen is Coldplay and Fix You. Try not to cry. Basically, I would love to be able to fix anybody that's ill, but particularly my sister.
There's a story in the Bible of St. Paul who had what he called a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to God he would take away this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And God's reply was, well, I could either take away the problem or I could make you stronger to bear it.
Yep.
We all want it to be the fairy godmother, the magic wand, taking away the problem. But quite often the answer isn't that. It's, no, I will help you through it.
Yeah.
But either way, God promises, I'll be with you.
Yep.
You know? So let's listen to Coldplay then.
When you try your best but you don't succeed, when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse, and the tears come streaming down your face, When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be worse? Lights will
helping you in this crisis moment.
Yeah.
But it's only, was it a week ago that you got
just
baptised?
Over, yeah, just coming up for, it'll be 2 weeks come this Sunday, was baptised at South Beach Baptist Church.
Yeah. So, and I remember you were all excited on the phone and I was saying, hang back a minute, tell us on here.
Yeah, it was one of the single most amazing things I think I've ever experienced. Extremely nerve-wracking to share my testimony with a church full of people.
Just to explain that to the listener, you stood up in front of a whole church of folk.
Yeah. And basically,
you explained why you've got to this point.
Yeah, why I wanted to be baptised, and that kind of moment for me when I felt God in my life. And to share that with other people and verbalise that is a very powerful thing to be able to do.
We've only got a few seconds left in this programme, but what was the nutshell of that? What did you say?
The nutshell of it really was just the fact that he is there to guide me, protect me, and let me share my faith with as many people as I can possibly touch from now until whenever. And I believe that everybody can do that.
Yeah. It's a shame our time's run out, Lisa. We really appreciate you coming to the studio and all that you've shared with us. And I'm sure that your faith permeates all those other areas of your life.
Yeah.
And it's very nice to see you with your fresh enthusiasm. This was total immersion baptism in a tank in the church. It's called Believer's Baptism.
Yeah.
And well done you.
Thank you.
So we're just finishing with your last track, which is Snow Patrol and Run.
Yeah.
Can you say briefly why?
Snow Patrol and Run, lyric in it, even if you cannot hear my voice, I'll be right beside you. And you can link that with anybody that's not physically close to you or spiritually.
Well, thanks again, Lisa.